but tremendous to see a young man and a young lady using their talents for Jesus Christ. God bless you. John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And we're going to take time to read the whole of the chapter. As I have said to you in the past, it's far more important to hear what God says than it is to hear what I say about it. So we're going to take time to read all 27 verses. I'd like you to follow closely with me. It's a tremendous passage of God's Word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, and because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer as we come to hear the Word of God. Our Father, we thank Thee for the ministry and song that we have just enjoyed. We thank Thee that there is a Savior today who reaches out to sinners, who says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And Father, we thank you that there is a call today for surrender, that by the ministry of your Spirit, those who know not Christ can be brought to that place of surrender to the loving claims of the Savior. And for we who are saved, Lord, we ask that we might readily surrender our hearts, our love, our life's obedience, to our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. John 15 is a problem passage for many. I've heard preaching on John 15 that has suggested that there are two types of believers. Two types of branches. Some of them will remain united to Christ. Some of them will be cut off and be lost for eternity. I want this morning to hopefully show you the correct interpretation and the correct warning that is included for us in the words of the Savior in John 15. Let me very quickly say that any suggestion that a believing child of God could ever be lost is absolutely foreign to the Word of God. The answer to the question, can a believer be saved today and lost tomorrow, is absolutely no. Absolutely not. You see, if a believer was able to be lost, it would not be a criticism of the believer. It would be a criticism of the Savior. And our Savior will lose none of those who are His. But I do want to look with you this morning at the two descriptions that are given in John's Gospel, chapter 15. Two kinds of branches. The one, Jesus says, are the branches that bear fruit because they are in me and I in them. The Word of God tells us that those who are saved are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. As the vine is the source of life to the branches, the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of spiritual life to all those who are His. Not only is He the source of life, but that life is the life that produces the fruit of which Jesus speaks. Now, I want you to look with me at verse 6. Because here Jesus describes another type of branch. Just looked over Herb and Betsy and Kenny. This has nothing to do with you at all. These are our branches. But verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me, I want you to grasp that. Those who are saved are in Christ. Jesus is speaking now about those who are not in Christ. And he says the result of not being in Christ is that there is an absence of life. He says in verse 6, it's cast forth a branch and is withered. Lifeless. No life because it is not connected to the vine. Not only is there no life, but there is no fruit. The Word of God tells us that that branch will be gathered together and cast into the fire and burned. So Jesus says there are those who are united to Him, who receive life from Him, and because they receive life from Him, they bear fruit. And there are those that are not united to Him, and because they are not united to Him, there is no life in them, there is no fruit from them, and they are going to be cast into fire that will burn eternally. Now, the first thing I want to ask you is to come with me through the New Testament to several passages to find out whether my interpretation of John 15 is consistent with the teaching of the New Testament. What I'm saying to you is that those who are united to Christ have life from Him and bear fruit. But there are others, and regardless of how much they look like Christians, regardless of how much they act like Christians, regardless of the similarities, the fact is they are not saved. They have never been united to Christ. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 10. Probably the most decisive and conclusive statement from the lips of the Lord Jesus with regard to eternal security. Or should I say, to the eternal security of the believer in Christ. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus says that when a person is saved, when a person is united to Him, they shall never perish. He doesn't say some of them shall never perish. I remember being in a meeting in London, England. The man who was speaking to Bible college students, and he said, I know you're saved, but Satan is going to do his best to stop you from getting to heaven. And then to my utter horror, he said, and with some of you he will succeed. Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. The question is not, can a saved one perish? The question is, and indeed the warning of John 15 is, are you really saved? Do you really know Christ? Are you really united to the living Christ, the giver of life? A friend of mine went to preach in a large church, and he started preaching the gospel. After the meeting, he began to talk to people and say, When did you get saved? How long have you been saved? And to his utter horror, they said to him, well, I've been a member of the church for, but my husband has only been a member of the church for. And he said, no, I'm not talking about how long you've been members of the church. I want to know when you got saved. They didn't know what he was talking about. They didn't have the first idea of what it meant to be living connection with Jesus Christ. To be in Christ and for Christ to be in them. And the Word of God says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Jesus says, they shall never perish. Turn over with me to John's Gospel, chapter 13. This is the passage where Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. But I want you to notice that there were among the disciples there 11 who knew the Lord as Savior, and one who bore all the marks and had all the privileges, but he didn't know the Lord. He was present when Jesus washed their feet. He was present when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He was present when the miracles were performed. But he wasn't saved. Look what it says in verse 9 of chapter 13. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now let me just remind you that when Jesus began to wash Peter's feet, Peter said to him, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part of me. And Peter, as he usually did, went way beyond what the Lord said, and he said, Lord, in that case, don't just wash my feet, wash all of me. And then Jesus said, verse 10, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, listen, but not all. What does that mean, that they weren't completely clean? No, it doesn't. It means that 11 of them had been saved, 11 of them had been cleansed, and verse 11 says this, for he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. You understand what just took place? Jesus said, 11 of you know me. 11 of you have a personal relationship with me that has brought salvation. But there is one of you who has been with me but never knew me. Who has been accompanying me but never knew the life that I bring. Has never been united to me. Has never been cleansed by me. And he spoke, of course, of Judas, who would betray him. You say, is it possible for someone to be just like a believer and not be a believer? The answer in the New Testament is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. Turn with me again to Matthew chapter 7. I'm purposely taking a little time over this because I want you to understand the danger is not the danger of a believer being lost. The danger is that a man or woman or child is led to believe or comes to believe that they are saved when in their heart there is no reality. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And I want you to notice, in passing, that it is immediately after this statement that Jesus begins to speak about the wise man and the foolish man and the foundation of God that brings salvation. Nothing to do with how we build on it, but the foundation of God, whether we have the right foundation or whether we don't have the right foundation. And Jesus says, the wise man builds his house on the rock. And it's secure. The foolish man builds his house on the sand, and when the winds come and the rains come, the house on the sand falls. Not because it wasn't well built, but because it was not built on the rock. The emphasis is not on the building, but on the foundation, and Christ alone is the foundation. Turn over with me again to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus has said to us in Matthew chapter 7 that there are going to be those who come to me in the last day. They're going to call me Lord. They're going to tell me of all the things they've done in my name, and I'm going to have to tell them I never knew you. Why does that happen? Matthew 13 and verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Just to cut it short, the disciples come to the Lord, or the servants come to the master, and they say, well, let's go in now and cut down the tares that the wheat may grow on its own. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible that any of the wheat could be burned by mistake? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But Jesus says in the field there was wheat and tares growing together. Now, I don't know a lot about what is called tares. It's the word for weeds. But what I have read suggests that the weeds that Jesus was talking about were a weed that could take on almost the same form as anything else that was growing beside it. It would have been difficult to look at the wheat and the tares and to tell the difference. But Jesus said in the day of harvest, the difference will be made. The tares will be burned. And the wheat will be carried into the barn. The believer in Jesus Christ taken to heaven. The warning is about those who profess Christ but do not possess Christ. Who can talk Christ but do not really know Him. Who have all the words and all the actions. They're just like the people that Jesus spoke about when He was on earth, when Jesus said, "This people worships Me with their lips." Oh, there are many who will pay lip service to Jesus. But what did Jesus say? "This people worships Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me." In other words, it's all outward, no inward. It's all outward facade, no inward life that comes from the living Christ. They are professors of Christ, not possessors of Christ. I used to say they are pretenders. But you know, that's not always true, because I had the joy one night of leading a lady to Christ who really believed that she was okay. Never ever sought to deceive herself. I said to her that night, I said, "Sue, tell me the problem in your own words." She looked at me and she said, "When you preach about heaven, I sit in the congregation and I say, 'Oh God, I wish I knew that I was going there.' But," she said, "when you preach about hell, I sit in the congregation and I think, 'Oh God, I hope I never end in that place.'" I said, "Sue, you've been coming to an evangelical church for a long time. Are you telling me that you don't know the Lord as your Savior?" She got out of her car. She came walking into the fellowship hall of the building, the church building. I didn't have to say a word. She fell on her knees and she began to pour out her heart. She said, "Lord Jesus, I want to claim You right now as my personal Savior." You see, the problem had not been her. The problem had been the preaching she had been listening to, the messages she'd been hearing, those who would tell her that she was okay. "Oh, you're fine." But in her heart, she knew that she wasn't fine. In her heart, she knew that she did not have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to suggest to you this morning that that is the purpose of the parable, or the words of the teaching of John 15. It's not in any way to suggest that a believer could be lost, but it is absolutely to tell us the danger, a danger against which Jesus warned on many occasions. You go and read the parable of the tree, that all the birds of the air come and harbor in that tree, and the Lord speaking about Himself. And all the people come and they harbor, but they don't know the Lord. You go read the parable of the sower, and Jesus talks about the four types of ground. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus tell us that all four types of ground are the hearts of believers? No, He doesn't. In fact, He says three out of the four aren't. Why? Same subject as John 15. Only one out of the four brings forth fruit. Only one brings forth fruit. What then is the fruit? And my time is nearly gone. It is the produce of a living relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, if you look in John 15 carefully, you'll find that it's after He gives all this teaching about the branches in the vine, the Father pruning, and He gives all this teaching about what it will mean in the lives of believers, He says in verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I shall send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. In chapter 16 he says, he shall take of mine and reveal it unto you. The fruitfulness is a living relationship with Jesus Christ. It's that which comes from being united to Christ. It is the produce in us of God the Holy Spirit who indwells every believing child of God. Now the question is, which category do you fit in? You think I'm going to tell you there are two categories, but there are not. There are four categories. Well, you just told us there are no, there are four. There are those who have no life and who are in danger of being gathered and burned in the fire. First category is those without Christ. Then there are those who have Christ. And Jesus, not the preacher, Jesus divides them into three. He does it in the parable of the sower, you know. He says, some of those who bring forth fruit bring forth 40 and 60 and 100. In John 15, he says, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. You see the difference? We don't all know that same degree of surrender to Christ. We don't know that same degree of the development of our relationship with Christ. But we do know this, that the work of producing fruit in the believer is not ours, it's Christ's. Look what it says in verse 5. One of the most humbling statements in the whole of the New Testament, one of the most humbling statements from the lips of Jesus, and yet it's one of the most glorious for you and I. Without me, ye can do nothing. That's hard, isn't it? That's almost as hard as when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians and he says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But Jesus isn't interested in giving glory to us. He's interested in us bringing glory to him. Then let me look with you at verse 16. A verse that I've quoted often, and I'm guilty of only quoting half of it. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I thank God for the truth of those words. For I would never have chosen Christ as a depraved sinner. I would never have chosen Christ, and he chose me. But listen to what he says. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained. Now it's all right talking about our election, but what about our ordination? What does Jesus say? And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You see the purpose of God choosing us in Christ? It's fruitfulness. He has chosen us and ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit. The Apostle Paul in Romans 6 speaks of bringing forth the fruit of holiness. If you profess Christ and have no interest in a holy character, I seriously doubt that you know anything about knowing Christ. If you profess Christ and have no interest in being like him, which is his declared purpose from before the foundation of the world, you have no interest in being like Christ. You have no interest in loving the people of God. You have no interest in obeying Christ. the likelihood is that you don't know him.
The Word of God says
that these are the fruit that will be brought forth in the lives of believers. Jesus says, if ye keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. What are his commandments? Go to the Word of God and find them. The first one I'll tell you is this. Remember me. The second one is, be baptized. You're not baptized? You need to be baptized. Not because you need to be baptized to be saved, but because you need to be baptized to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be at the Lord's Supper remembering the Lord's death. Why? Because Jesus took bread and he took a cup and he said, this do in remembrance of me. And then he said, love one another. I know myself well enough to know that that can be hard sometimes. But he doesn't say, love those that I have made lovely. He said, love those that are mine. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained that you should go forth and bear fruit. So where do you fit in? Do you fit into the fruit? The more fruit or the much fruit? Is it a desire of your heart to bring forth fruit to the glory of Jesus Christ? You go into Galatians chapter 5 and the Apostle Paul says, now this is the fruit of the flesh. This is what the flesh brings forth. But then in Galatians 5:22 he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is. I want you to notice, most preachers say it's the fruits of the Spirit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. They are sevenfold, they are ninefold, and all of them are to be desired by the children of God. Jesus doesn't say to us, look, you can just go to that list of nine and take two or three and work on them. Because it's not you working on anything. He says, when you surrender to the control of the Holy Ghost, when you surrender to the control that He will exercise, then you will find love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. Those things will be evident in your life. Why? Because the natural produce of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is to make you like Christ. To make you to be with him, like Him. Fruit in differing degrees. Some people are satisfied with just being saved and go no further. Fruit. But sometimes the Spirit of God stirs our hearts and our minds and our imaginations and brings within our heart the desire for more. You can't have more of Christ because you have all of Him. But Christ can have more of you. Christ can have more of you. Young man looks at his girlfriend and he says, I love you with all my heart. And if she's wise, she sits down and she begins to examine all the things that he loves. Well, he loves his car. He loves sport. He loves money. He loves his job. He loves his parents. Maybe what he should have said was, I love you with what's left of my heart. You know, that's exactly what we do with Jesus. That's exactly what we do with Jesus. We say, Jesus, there are all these things that I've got to love, and somewhere in between them, I'm going to fit you in. No, Lord, I'm not going to be like the Laodiceans. I'm not going to push you out altogether, but Jesus, you'll have to take the place that I give you in my life. And Jesus says no. First of all, without me, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. And secondly, I don't care about your plan for your life. When I chose you, I set out the plan for you to bear fruit. I ordained you and sent you forth to bear fruit. You know, salvation is coming to a living relationship with Jesus Christ. But sanctification is the day-by-day outworking of Christ in us. Of us going from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. Does that mean we've got to get out and save people? No, it doesn't. Paul plants, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. He does the saving. Does that mean we've got to get out and tell people? Yes, it does. Because part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us is that we are to be witnesses for Christ. Where are you this morning? Are you united to Christ? If you are, you're going to heaven. Are you bearing fruit? More fruit? Much fruit? Complete obedience or limited obedience? You know, Jesus knows the answers to these questions. I don't need to know them. I need to know the answer in my own heart. Because you see, the fact that I'm standing up here preaching doesn't make it any easier for me. In fact, sometimes pride makes it a little harder. Are you bearing fruit, beloved? Is the Holy Spirit producing the likeness of Christ in you? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you and praise you that there are those today who know that they have eternal life because they know Christ. Your word says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. Father, we pray today if there are any here who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, or Father, who are even not sure, that you would give us the joy of showing them from your word how they can know that they have eternal life. And Father, for we who are saved, you have chosen us. You have called us to yourself. You have ordained that we should go forth and bear fruit. Bring glory to your glorious name. Bless us, we pray now. In Jesus' name. Amen.